Hello, friends. Welcome to the second season of the Alabama Liberal Podcast. This is the first trilogy that we're going to be doing. So 66, 67, and 68 are going to be called Unfinished Business. These are sort of bookends or complements to some episodes that we had done earlier. So this one is called We Need to Talk About China, which is a perfect sort of complimentary episode to episode 33. Now, back in episode 33, just to refresh your memory, because I keep talking about some of the first 50 episodes, probably a lot of people have not listened to those, or even if you have, that was 2016. So I'm constantly like, oh, you know, like when we did that episode about, to me, it's like it was yesterday, but it's kind of unrealistic to expect you to remember an episode from 4 years ago, because since Trump's been in office, 4 minutes feels like 4 years ago, right? Like every single day feels a lot longer. I told one of my friends, I go, you know, he's only been in office for 3 years. It seems remarkable. It feels like 30 years. It feels like a longer time period than that because so many things happen. So sometimes I'm like, well, I don't want to do an episode about this or that, because I've already talked about it, but I now realize that, like, no, that for most people, that was 4 years ago, and that's an eternity in politics. Back in episode 33, it was called We Need to Talk About Islam. Probably one of my favorite episodes. I really like that episode. You know, that's the thing that this podcast does really well, is sometimes there's things that liberals instinctively don't want to hear or shut down or can't hear. And I'm hopeful that people, when they listen to it and listen to how I explain it and go in depth on it, then maybe they'll at least give it a chance. Islam was one of those tricky things to talk about because I wanted to criticize the ideology, the religion itself. But so many people interpret anything you say about it as an attack on brown people. Like, oh, that's the brown people religion, and anything you say about that, you're talking about specifically Middle Eastern people. Well, the country with the most Muslims in the world is Indonesia. The second most is India. Third most is Pakistan. I think fourth most is Nigeria. So there's a lot more than just the Middle East when you talk about Islam. But the common denominator in all those countries is Islamic faith. And I wanted to criticize the ideology, but it was very hard to get people to even hear those criticisms because so much of it's wrapped up in what they think of as a racist argument. And in a weird way, they're actually more racist. Islam is not a race, it's not a nationality, it's not a culture. And so when they say things like, oh, no, you're talking about the culture, they're criticizing Saudi Arabian people specifically. They're essentially saying, like, Saudi Arabia and Iran and places in the Middle East, those people are animals. They're just not, you know, civilized enough, and that's their culture. 10 times more racist than criticizing the ideology and saying, like, no, there's reasons that any single country that's majority Muslim has problems with sexism and the way they treat women and things like that. And part of that is because of who Muhammad was and how he started the religion in the first place. He was a wealthy merchant. He became a warlord. He took Arabia by force. Any Saudi Arabian pagans that didn't want to convert to Islam, he slaughtered them all. He had slaves. He did crucifixions. And because so few people even know how the religion got started and who started it, and I mean, they may know who Muhammad is, but they know almost nothing about his biography, which is very strange because Christians talk about Jesus all the time as though he was a flesh and blood person. For all we know, Jesus is a fictional character. I mean, he's Huckleberry Finn. Like, he's in the Bible, but there's no historical record of him. I speculate that Jesus never existed. There's just too much about him we don't know, and no one who lived in the time period that he did ever wrote about him. We have no historical records about him from the time he lived. None of the disciples ever met him. Because we have no context for Jesus, I think he's a fictional character, yet we talk about him like we know a lot about him. Muhammad, meanwhile, definitely lived, and there's all these historical records of him of that time period. We know a lot about him historically, but from the religion of Islam, a lot of people know very little about him. Now that I've already pissed off the Muslims and the Christians, which is half the planet, let's get to the Chinese so that I can piss off the whole fucking world. Maybe by the end of this, I'll find a way to go after and Hinduism, because those will be probably the only people left that are not totally offended by this. Is with China, I think a lot of people, any criticisms of the Chinese government, very similar to Islam, where people are seemingly incapable of distinguishing between the Chinese government, specifically the Communist Party of China, and Chinese people. Anything you seem to say about China itself, I'm saying it about the government and about the Communist Party of China. And that is being immediately interpreted as an attack on Jackie Chan or Chloe Bennett or Michelle Yao or any actor or actress. All these kind of self-serving Asian actors in America, Daniel Day Kim, who is on Hawaii 5-0 and Lost and things like that. He's like, oh, people look at me like I'm spreading coronavirus because I'm Asian. No, they're looking at you because you have coronavirus. And he's like, I got this in America, not China. This isn't an Asian disease. And I'm like, that's a very straw man argument. Like, yes, a disease can travel borders and countries and doesn't need a passport to get in somewhere. But somebody in Kansas who's like, well, I contracted this in Kansas, so therefore it didn't originate in China and they didn't help spread it around the globe. That's a canard. That's bullshit. I'm seeing a lot of self-serving Asian actors seem to think any criticism of the Chinese government is directed at them personally and is racist against them personally. Let me ask you this. How come everywhere you go around the planet, people are able to say Americans are this, Americans are that, Americans are fat, Americans are lazy, Americans don't want to work hard, Americans are loud, Americans want to take over the globe? Nobody ever says that's racist. I hear very little of that. I mean, unless it's like the Fox News crowd be like, oh, I'm so offended by this, huffing and puffing. Most people hear things like that constantly, and it just kind of falls off our shoulders. Like, we don't even think twice about it anymore. It doesn't matter that a lot of it's not true. Americans are lazy? Not true at all. Americans, only Japan works harder than we do. They're the only country in the world that takes fewer sick days and fewer vacation days than Americans do. Americans don't even take all their vacation days. When you hear all these things and you're absorbing that message of Americans are warmongers, well, certainly some Americans are. Anybody watching the current season of Homeland knows that John Zabel, the character who wants to go to war with Pakistan, that's clearly based on John Bolton. John Bolton has never met a Middle Eastern country or majority Muslim country that he didn't want to declare war with. Iraq, Iran, sure, whatever. Yeah, so of course there are some Americans who are very militaristic and war hawkish. There's some Americans that don't want to go to war ever again. And literally 99% of this country does not join the military. We actually have quite a low enrollment in the military. And it's hard to even imagine other countries unless you go spend time there and see that they're much more nationalistic than the United States is. The United States, I mean, kind of low in terms of patriotism and nationalism and things like that. Everybody I meet is like, I'm Swedish American. Oh, you're from Sweden? No, my great grandmother was from Sweden. It's sort of ridiculous how Americans are always trying to be from somewhere else, something else, kind of put other cultures on a pedestal. Almost every Hollywood actor is from England or Australia or something like that. Nobody even thinks it's weird. Nobody thinks it's weird that like fully American characters like Spider-Man and like Batman are played by English actors. And yet if you wanted to have an American play James Bond, people would get pissed off about that. So all of our talk show host, James Corden, John Oliver, Samantha Bee, Trevor Noah. Like, what if a guy from Alabama said, hey, I'm going to go to England and I'm going to be on BBC and I'm going to have a talk show talking about your political system? Like, nobody would want to hear that shit. They'd say, who the hell are you to come in here, some big American swinging your dick around, talking about our system? You don't know anything. You don't know what you're talking about. Yet half the pundits on television that you see on CNN from England and they're all talking about our system. And it's always in this whole, like, we know more than you do. Andrew Sullivan talks down anybody who disagrees with him. Pierce Morgan, same thing. Even somebody like Trevor Noah is always like, I'm a stranger in a strange land. This is all unusual to me. And it's like, well, why have you hosted The Daily Show for 5 years, really? People look at America and they see it one way, and that's okay, and we have to hear it all the time. And yet, if we say anything about another country, and we're really talking about their government specifically, that's racist. I once get in an argument with somebody who's Russian, because there's a lot of Russians in Los Angeles, saying, oh, all this anti-Russian bigotry, anti-Russian racism, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You're the most racist country on earth. That guy saying that was completely racist towards black people. You have to be kidding a little bit with some of this shit. But the reason people are able to say that about other countries is because there's so much more homogenous. The United States, if people say the United States is a racist place, 30% of our country that's not white, it's like, yeah, it is a racist place. It's terrible. You go over there and say, well, China's an incredibly racist place. The 90% of the country that's Han Chinese from one ethnic group is like, no, that's not true. So it's only because we do have a variety and a flavor on all these different groups of people. There would never be a black president of China. Never, never, never. And I'm speaking from personal experience because my wife is black and we've been to China before and people treat her like an animal at the zoo. I mean, somebody came up and they wanted to have their picture taken with her. I want to take a picture with you just to prove that they had met somebody that was black, right? And then they could show it to people. And I mean, that's a very uncomfortable feeling. And this was in Shanghai, China. This was in their most cosmopolitan city. When she goes to Beijing, the treatment is horrible. Further inland you go, it probably gets even worse. Let's talk about China specifically and really try to break it down, because some of it's about COVID-19, but I've been saying a lot of these things before then. When you go to Alabama Liberals' YouTube channel, you can find videos I made years ago talking about our relationship with them makes no sense. We offshore our manufacturing jobs and our wealth. They make TVs slightly cheaper than they would be. Really not that big of a difference if in the overall scheme of things. They still RIP. We haven't had a relationship with China that makes sense in a very long time. It's probably our strangest relationship internationally. It's almost a parasitic relationship. I feel they get back 10 times more from us than we get from them. And I think that's the way the Communist Party likes it. I don't think they're interested in fairness. They're not interested in cooperation. They're not interested in anything that doesn't benefit China. We criticize Trump for saying America first, but it's been China first for as long as they've ever had a country. Okay, that's been the mentality for millenniums. Anytime China has ever faced a real crisis, the entire answer has been kick out the foreigners. Foreigners are coming, build the Great Wall. The Great Wall, they use that as their national symbol, and you can see it from space, and they're so proud of it. But that is really fitting of China. That does show you what they prioritize. A Great Wall to keep out anything that's not us. And you could say, well, that was different. They were invaders, and today... Well, but the Fox News people and the conservatives, and I don't agree with them, but they view us as being invaded. That's how they look at it. They show a caravan of Central American immigrants coming here, and it doesn't matter that these people have no shoes, or they're starving to death, or their kids are, they just want polio vaccinations, or they're living in abject poverty. Like, if they don't get into the United States, and they would sometimes prefer a detention center than where they're coming from, they show that as an invading horde. The mentality is basically the same. Opium War One, Opium War Two, the Boxer Rebellion, the movie The Sand Pebbles, Mao's Revolution. Always the answer is kick out the foreigners, kick out anybody who's not Chinese. And you see that today. The second that we were reporting accurate statistics and facts on the spread of coronavirus, they kicked out the Washington Post reporters. The CDC woman that people said, oh, there was a CDC virus expert in China, she left, and that's why this whole thing is Trump's fault. Why did she leave? Because it was part of the trade dispute. We were arguing our trade position with them, and a lot of different government officials were asked to leave and being kicked out as punishment for this. We were standing up to them, renegotiating our trade agreements with China. I think it's one of the very, very few things Trump has been correct about. I think it's one of the only things he's been right about. I call it broken clock time. Of course, Trump has some blame for the coronavirus. There's so many things that he did wrong, and we could go through and we could list all those things. But at the end of the day, he's not responsible for why the World Health Organization didn't take the virus seriously. He doesn't control that, of why the morgues in Italy were stacking up sky high. So this idea of it being, well, there was a CDC professional who was in China, and they would have been able to report back to us, and they were sent home. We didn't have accurate information, and that's why the entire global plague is Trump's fault. Can't you see that? That is some very Rube Goldberg logic. Like, that's very around the world to get to the answer of China's not really at fault. The country where the virus started and where it spread and where it was allowed to spread and where they lied about it and they suppressed information, and any doctor who was going out publicly talking about it was arrested and put in jail, and they actively suppressed information and they shut down travel from the Wuhan province to the rest of the country, but they still allowed international travel. Wuhan people were allowed to travel internationally, which was basically like saying, hey, if we're going down, the rest of the world's coming with us. And still lying, Belgium has less than 1% of China's population, and the virus got there months after it was in China, where it originated. And supposedly, China's had less than 4,000 coronavirus deaths, while Belgium's had almost 5,000. This is fucking absurd. And the fact that coronavirus has shut down the globe, and Europe and America especially have been hit hard by this, and we're still going to them and saying, okay, no more fun and games. Give us your death count. Give us how this virus started. Give us everything you know about it. And they're still not doing it. People are dying and they're still lying about it. This virus has been there since November. In December, my wife's talking about traveling, taking a trip. A lot of people there are like, you better wear a mask. And she went. And I've talked about this in previous podcasts. She went for a couple of weeks. Everybody was wearing masks. Everybody was afraid of getting sick. They've known about this since November. That's probably when it really started. It's allowed to spread around the entire globe. They're saying it's not serious. Human-to-human transmission is very difficult. It's not airborne. Everything they say is a fucking lie. The doctor goes out, makes a video, tries to warn people. He's arrested and called an enemy of the state. And a warning to anybody else being like, hey, maybe you'll live, maybe you'll die. But if you go out there and you talk about this virus publicly and you try to warn the rest of the world, you definitely will die. Or you definitely will be in jail or imprisoned or whatever. Especially if you say anything bad about the current government and how we're handling this. Which, by the way, acknowledge acknowledging the virus exists is an embarrassment to us. Then they give all these faulty masks to Spain and Iran that just cause more deaths. So a lot of the medical supplies they're giving to certain countries, especially countries I noticed they don't have very good relations with, those countries are now saying the masks don't work and it's killing more and more people. Then they spread all these propaganda rumors that the American military created this virus and they went to Wuhan and released it somehow. That's the extreme version. The mild version is, well, the American military spread it from Wuhan province to Europe and they did it accidentally. They didn't mean to do it. Here's the Chinese government's answer. Half of them, the hardliners, think America deliberately created this virus, started it in Wuhan, and let it spread to discredit China. I don't think anybody believes that. I don't think they believe it. But that's the hardline response. The moderate side is, oh, well, the American military contracted it, and they accidentally spread it around Europe, and that's why Europe and the United States, that's why they're affected worse than we are. Not, of course, taking into account that there's no fucking way they're not incinerating bodies left and right. It would surprise me if the official death count from there is not at least 50,000 people, probably closer to 100,000. But I'm thinking at least 50,000 are dead. Now, they're acknowledging less than 4,000 deaths total. I think they've incinerated a lot of bodies. I think it'll take years for the full number to come out. And of course, how can it come out when there's such a crackdown on everything? When your people are totally kept in the dark about everything. The media is not free. The internet's not free. I've recounted stories previously about I go to a Chinese hotel. And it's a Western hotel. There's Western guests. The TV channels are Western. And you watch CNN International or something like that. If there's a story that comes on about Xi Jinping or the Chinese party or something that they don't want you to hear, the screen cuts to black. It's a black screen, as though the TV is dead. And it doesn't come back on until that story's over. So the TV just goes black for an hour, a minute, 5 minutes, whatever they don't want you to see. So they're censoring even channels that are in English. Channels that are clearly meant for Western hotel guests in international hotels, they're censoring that. Overall content is censored within an inch of its life. Anything homosexual, they cut it out. I can remember watching an episode of Game of Thrones. Renly and Loras Tyrell, I believe, were having a love scene or something along those lines, and it just cut it out. And this is not something that's embarrassing to China. It has nothing to do with China. It's not even about that. It's just we don't like homosexual content. We're going to cut that out and edit it. And at the same time, only a few years ago, there was the one-child policy. So it's weird. It's like you don't want us to be gay and be homosexual, but you also don't want us to have kids either. You see right there the narrow parameters. A country like Iran, or they're very, very extremely homophobic, but there's no quota on how many children you can have. It's almost like the more children, the merrier. Like, you know, 10 kids per family, and everybody's poor as shit, and completely overpopulated, and on the verge of collapse, and poverty stricken, but hey, it's what we want right there. You know, other countries in the West, we might put a little bit more emphasis on family planning. Especially in Europe, it might be more like, hey, give a 5-year-old birth control. It doesn't matter because we just don't want to have all these accidental pregnancies that lead to crime rates being higher and fewer people being able to have jobs. Like, we want people to really be able to think about what they're doing. In Japan, they're practically paying people to have sex. Most Japanese women under a certain age are completely disgusted with the idea of having sex. So it's almost to the point where their birth rate is so low, so terrifyingly low, the government's almost like, we'll pay you to have an accidental pregnancy. So you're seeing that in almost every other country in the world. China's the only place having more than one child is completely illegal as well and will lead to forced sterilization. You get to the United States and it's almost like if you live in Alabama and you want an abortion, you almost have to travel out of state. Depending on where you live, it may be easier for you to go to Nashville. When I lived in Minneapolis, I remember the Planned Parenthood, it said on the outside, Planned Parenthood of Minnesota and South Dakota. So if you live in South Dakota or North Dakota and you want an abortion, it's almost easier to go to Minnesota. Probably easier to go to Canada and go across, you know, international lines. So that's how far away some abortion clinics are. But in China, of course, the policy is one child policy until very recently. We control who you marry. We control what you do. We control your thoughts. We control your feelings. If you want to get online and say the president of China sucks and is a moron and he should be deposed immediately, be prepared for yourself and the rest of your family to live in a jail cell for the rest of your life. That's been the case for a very long time. But what's begun to spill over, America has always wanted to impose democracy and our freedoms and our liberties. We've always wanted that to spread across the globe. Now we're being infected by it in a way that is terrifying. People may not realize that AMC Theaters, the biggest theater chain in America, is owned by a Chinese conglomerate. is actually a Chinese company. And right now with coronavirus, they've been obviously very hard hit. There's no theaters open. AMC Theaters is owned by a Chinese conglomerate, and they may get a bailout. They're asking for one, but if you make a movie that's anti-China, AMC Theaters is not going to put it in their theaters. And you won't even get it made in the first place because so many theaters are trying so hard to suck up to China and get the international box office. They all want their movies to play in China. But this is a real story. The Red Dawn remake with Chris Hemsworth, the villains were Chinese. And then MGM went back and they changed it to be North Koreans because they were that afraid of upsetting China and didn't want to make them mad. And then that changed. That changed to be like, well, now we're afraid to make a movie about North Korea because in the interview, Kim Jong-un was assassinated and Sony Pictures got hacked. It was embarrassing. AMC Theaters, by the way, was the first theater chain to be like, oh, we don't want to show this movie because it could lead to violence. Basically, it's very hard to get movies like that made in the first place because, like, for example, Paramount Pictures, for 25% of their movies are funded by China. And China now has all these production companies. They make all kind of movies. The Triple X movie, Geostorm, even something like Bad Moms is actually funded by China and created by them. So any studio that's being seen as anti-Chinese or making, you know, movies that put China in a bad light, their funding is going to dry up. They're going to have a harder time getting their movies made in the first place. And then they're going to punish that studio because even if you make an independent film that I know damn well is not going to play in China, but Lionsgate is the one that funds it, makes it, and releases it, Lionsgate's going to have a problem 6 months later when they try to get John Wick 4 or Hunger Games 18 or whatever it is to play in China. And they want that Chinese box office because they're going to say, oh, no, no, you're the studio that pissed us off by releasing that other movie. So that's how retaliatory they are. For God's sakes, Richard Gere, he's still on their shit list because he was so pro-Tibet or whatever it was. You haven't seen Richard Gere in a major Hollywood movie in years because it's basically like, oh, we don't want to be the ones to put him in Star Wars because that won't play in a Chinese theater. And so that's why he's almost disappeared from anything but independent films. There hasn't been a major Hollywood movie with a Chinese villain in it since 1997. In 1997, you had Kundun, 7 Years in Tibet, and Red Corner. That was sort of the last year, and there was three that year, which was kind of unusual in the first place. All those movies were banned in China, and their production companies and their studios, they had a hard time for a couple years even getting their movies in China. Some people believe that for several years, Brad Pitt couldn't get any his movies to play in China because just because he starred in 7 Years in Tibet. World War Z didn't play in China. Some thought it was because of Brad Pitt. Some think it's the book because the book World War Z, which I would recommend reading, The Zombie Plague, begins in China. The censorship that really begins there, it now influences what movies get made here. They're our biggest geopolitical rival in the world, and they haven't been a villain in a movie since 1997, a major Hollywood movie. Even actors that piss them off can't get hired and put into things. If I really were to try to get big as an actor or whatever, they wouldn't want Chinese audiences to have any exposure to me because I'm so subversive, is what they call it. That kind of hyper-controlling tendencies that are now infecting our own free media, which is terrifying to me, that they can control what gets made here and what doesn't. And all these people saying, well, you know, Hollywood, there's so many gay people there. Why are there barely any gay characters in blockbuster movies? China doesn't want gay content. That's a big part of the reason. And that's why all these movies have been so unusually skittish and skeptical, whereas gay characters are all over television. Game of Thrones, the new Star Trek. Star Trek Discovery has several gay characters. But you watch the movies that are being made, Marvel and Star Wars, and the Pixar movie Onward had its first gay character ever. And apparently, when that movie got released in China and Russia, they cut out the line where she revealed that she was gay. That's not just in the media. When you go to something like the NBA, there was an NBA executive who said something positive about the Hong Kong protest, and then all the NBA people had to come out and say, oh, he doesn't reflect our views. His views are pro-democracy, pro-freedom. Those are American views and American values. And then to have somebody like LeBron James, oh, he doesn't have all the facts. I'm like, this is fucking insane to me. You could have American athletes who will take a knee. They refuse to stand up to put their hand over their heart on the Pledge of Allegiance. It's insane to me that you could have all these athletes who were so anti-nationalistic towards America. Yet at the same time, people are ignorant on the facts when it comes to China. And that just goes to show you the difference in the two countries. Somebody like Colin Kaepernick is fine taking a knee when it comes to the American national anthem because he knows half the people in America are going to agree with me and the other half won't. Americans don't agree on anything. We can't even agree on if you should stand up for the national anthem or not. But if I say anything remotely negative towards China, well, the Hong Kong protesters, they have a right to freedom just like we do here in America. And, you know, it's the same thing as the civil rights movement here in the United States. your sneakers have been canceled in China. You will no longer be the face of Nike. All that Nike deals and endorsements and all the shit you've done, you're out on that score. Nike will take Colin Kaepernick, who half the country likes and doesn't like in the United States, and make him the face of an ad campaign. But if you say anything remotely critical about China, your ad campaign is gone. So crazy to me. And why? Because they want to sell sneakers in China. And they want to make sneakers in China. They want little 10-year-old sweatshop slaves sitting there sewing sneakers together. And the fact that Americans are okay with this, the fact that we'd be like, police shootings of black men are terrible and wrong, but Nike using sweatshop conditions to get sneakers made cheaply and also suppressing dissent in Hong Kong, that's their business. That has nothing to do with me. The fact that you have that kind of a double standard, it's horrifying. Because everything's in the context of this election, anything you say negative about China is immediately interpreted as Donald Trump is right, and that lets him off the hook for all his coronavirus mistakes. To me, you can have more than one thought in your head at the same time. You can have the thought of China had a plague in their country spreading around, and they allowed that to release itself all across the globe and shut down the globe, and also Donald Trump handled it poorly. You can allow both of those things into your mind at the same time. Donald Trump, should he continue to be president? No. Just acknowledging China's, they are responsible for this crisis, that's not saying that Trump is not responsible for the recession that's going to happen, for shutting down the country as bad as it did, for ignoring it as long as he did. But at the same time, every couple of years, there's some new massive plague that begins in China. Bird flu, avian flu, SARS. But you can see the difference because Barack Obama was president, right? So that's the difference, basically. It's like, it's not that necessarily that Trump hasn't handled this 10 times worse than Obama would have. I mean, Obama was dealing with Ebola virus, for God's sakes. But at the same time, the countries where the Ebola virus began did not lie to the United States. And that's what prevented it from becoming 10 times worse than it would have been. But you could still look at it and say, but this is why somebody like Donald Trump should not be president, because the intelligence agencies of America would say, hey, there's this mysterious new disease spreading all across China, and it's killing a lot of people, and everybody's dying, and maybe we should take this seriously. But Trump doesn't trust his own intelligence agencies. He is terrified that they're going to poison his McDonald's or something like that, like they're going to spike his McNuggets with arsenic. So the CIA comes to tell him something, he doesn't believe them. There's a lot of chatter going around these Chinese lines about all the sickness and death and illness. Yeah, who gives a shit, right? You can see the difference, because Obama would believe his intelligence agencies and he would act faster. But at the same time, just acknowledging the fact of, how come China's got all these diseases that start there? That's racist, and don't bring that up and don't talk about that again. Three out of the last five global plagues have started in one country. And I think it behooves us to look at maybe why that is and what's happening there. And perhaps if there's something that we could do to prevent the next one, with like bring American manufacturing anywhere else on the globe. We could take our manufacturing jobs. And first of all, it'd be great if we brought them home. I mean, it'd be great if you took every Chinese manufacturing job and put them in the Carolinas. But even if you're not going to do that, even if you're one of those stubborn American executives that still is just so pro-offshoring for whatever reason, you're still stuck in that mode. It makes me sick when I watch an episode of Shark Tank and you see entrepreneurs come in and they'll say, what does it cost you to make one of these? 90 cents. Ooh, let's get it down to 75. Let's offshore that to China. They almost don't like it being said, oh, this is American made. Like, to save 15 cents on a pair of sneakers or something like that, you can see the stitching quality. You can see it not falling apart after five washes. But they don't care about any of that, because in their minds, hey, cheaper quality is almost better, because then people have to buy more of it. And that's what our whole economy, unfortunately, has centered around. Not only can we make this cheaper and cut the cost, and they supposedly will pass that down to the consumers, a lot of times it's not really being passed down. If it's cheap and crappy and it breaks. If you have a TV, we don't want that TV to last for 15 years. We want you to get a new TV in 2 years. If your iPhone breaks, good for us. Apple's entire business model has been, we'll make cheap, crappy technology in China, and your phone will break after a year or two, but that's fine, because then you buy another phone, and that's better for us anyway. I've had a Samsung flip phone about 5 years. I could probably get another two or three out of it, and it doesn't break. And yet, my wife, she uses iPhones. After every 18 months, I need a new phone. You don't need a new phone. It's just that it's so poorly made, the fucking speaker falls out of it, or there's a crack on it, there's all these different reasons why it's all about cheaper, crappier, buy more, buy more, buy more, the consumer-driven thing. So they're making money both ways. ways. First, cutting cost for the manufacturing of the stuff, more revenue when you have to buy more of it. And people have showed, you know, going through Walmart and every single item just about is made in China. Stuff is made there. That's why they're one of the very few companies that's been allowed to even open up in China. And it's all like that. It's all that kind of quid pro quo, quasi-blackmail. Elon Musk, right before coronavirus hit, he opened a gigafactory in China. And you almost wonder, why did you do that? You know, it almost doesn't make sense to start allowing manufacturing in the world's biggest IP thief. The IP theft in China is outrageous. Like, it's kind of the last place in the world that you'd want to make something like Tesla. But I'm sure there's a reason for it in that they'll be allowed to sell Teslas there and it'll open them up to a market. And it's that same fool's gold that every entrepreneur falls for of being like, oh, the more that I manufacture there, the more likely I am to get my products in their stores and people will buy them. And what you see over and over again is the same type of fraud. You allow stuff to go there, and if it's something that the government supports, like let's say with movies, Geostorm is a very shitty Gerard Butler movie, but the bad guys in that movie are American CIA agents and State Department types. Same thing with XX. So naturally, that movie had enormous box office. It was this enormous box office blockbuster. Now in America, did anybody go watch Geostorm? No, it was a fucking flop. Nobody wanted to watch that shit. But in China, supposedly, it made all this money. Who knows if that's true? Who knows if people really went to go watch that? The Communist Party of China could say, this is a movie we support and a message that we support, so let's sink $10 million into the box office receipts for that movie. And fraud like that is committed all the time. At the same time that Geostorm is burning up the Chinese box office charts, Blade Runner 2049 flops. Why would Blade Runner 2049 flops? It's a message they don't support, that technology could possibly be evil, that soullessness is bad, that there could be a dystopia. It's darker, it's edgier, it's about a rebellion. All these things are messages that they wouldn't support. So who knows how well it really did there, because it's almost the kind of movie that you're surprised that it even got permission to be there in the first place, because it's the kind of thing they would normally censor out of even letting their people have a chance to watch. And I'm sure with Elon Musk, there must be some reason, like maybe if he lets them make Teslas, when he gets Starlink up and running, the global satellite network, they won't shoot down his satellites. They won't make that as difficult as it possibly could be. There's probably some other reason for it that we're not looking at. By examining our relationships with China, I shot a video for Alabama Liberal that showed the Shanghai skyline, and it was all these huge skyscrapers sprout up. Where does that money come from? Where does China's so-called economic miracle come from? Nixon opening up the country, which has been very good for them and very bad for us. And when I say open up, it's been a very selective opening. Selective in that if you want to offshore your manufacturing to China and give them money and business, they're all for it. If you want to go over there and buy property and drive up the price of their property so that their everyday citizens can't afford it, they're not so big on that. Meanwhile, in downtown Los Angeles, all these skyscrapers are sitting there empty while we have the nation's worst homeless population. Outside, American citizens who have nowhere to live, they're homeless in tent cities. Inside, outrageously overpriced condos that Chinese billionaires live in 2 weeks out of the year. And they'll be what are called ghost buildings. These buildings that occupancy is 100% on paper, but at any one time, there's no more than 30% of the building being used because it's just a playground for the world's rich. It's all these rich fucks come here some months out of the year. And it's part of the reason property's been driven up sky high. But what's fueling China's economic miracle? It's simply offshoring of other countries' manufacturing jobs. Our middle class has been offshored there. I give you a personal example. In Fort Payne, Alabama, there was these sock mills, and some of my relatives worked in them. And they used to have something like 20 sock mills at one time. Most of the country's socks were made somewhere in that Fort Payne area. It'd be very hard if you went your whole life and wore any kind of big brand like Fruit of the Loom, and even specialty brands, and you'd never had a pair of Alabama socks. Now, today, there's less than six of those mills because they've all been offshored to China, some of it Central America. But that was also that the production could save money. But meanwhile, thousands of people who had a pretty good standard of living and a pretty good job, they were out of a job. And then they had to go work at Walmart or whatever jobs were available. That's the hollowing out of our manufacturing class and our industrial class. And Alabama's been less affected by that than some of the Midwestern states and some of the Northwest. I mean, there's some really depressing communities like Buffalo and the Rust Belt that have been hammered by what they consider to be NAFTA. They all call it NAFTA. NAFTA is an agreement with Canada and Mexico. More of it is China, specifically. That's all that's fueling their economic miracle. It's not like they discovered a whole bunch of resources. It's not like, oh, you know what? Before, we didn't realize that our ground just magically spits up gold every once in a while. Gold bars just fall from the sky and develop. It's not like they discovered all this shit that they didn't have before. It was specifically they discovered America's manufacturing jobs, and now they have it and they're building that just from a pragmatic perspective. What sense does it make for the biggest geopolitical, military, and economic rival of the United States in the world to control our manufacturing jobs and have all of our jobs go over there? And by the way, control what we ingest. You look at toys made in China, lead paint, some of our food products, some of our medical products. Seeing this coronavirus thing where it's like a lot of our medical products are made in China, some of our medical machines, some of our prescription drugs, they're backing up the supply chain to kill us slowly. I don't think a lot of people even knew that China was manufacturing that stuff. I think that's the height of stupidity. You could say it's bad for us if we allow them to make our blue jeans, but to make our medical devices and our prescription drugs and some of our medical supplies, that is outright fucking stupidity. And the only reason that's been allowed to happen is because some of the business class has made a fortune offshoring this shit. The guy who owned all those Fort Payne sock mills, he made a fortune by offshoring all the production overseas. So he had more money than he's ever made by cutting cost, quote unquote, driving up the margins of all these products, more profit than he's ever enjoyed in his life. So he was quite well off, while thousands of people were much worse off than they would have been. But I'm sure that some pharmaceutical company or some medical supplies company was like, oh my God, look at the margins if we have this stuff made overseas. We look at it as though people are making these decisions smartly, or as though they're even really business people make decisions. And this is why regulation has to come into play, because business people don't think 5 feet in front of their face usually. Oh my God, I showed you a chart. The margins will be literally twice as good if we manufacture this shit in China. They're going to do it. And they're going to do it in a second. And it will not even occur to them that if a crisis like this happens, that China will delay shipments, that the supply chain will be blocked, that it's quite a pain in the ass to ship stuff from all over the world in a crunch where every single day matters and every second. It doesn't even occur to them. That doesn't even happen. One of the enormous problems with letting so many things be manufactured by a country that we have good relations with in a way, but there should be no mistake that this is the biggest rival we've had since the height of the Cold War against the Soviet Union. There's only one country on the planet that is a true rival to the United States. But because liberals are focused on Russia and conservatives are focused on bearded men in caves in the middle of the Middle East, that's the weird thing about our security policy. For 20 years, it's been the Islamic world. All we've thought about is Al-Qaeda and then ISIS and the Taliban. It's what we've been obsessed with for 20 years. We've been very slow to pivot towards China and think about them more in that way. So it's almost like the frog in the boiling pot of water. The temperature is raised incrementally. It's not strange that drip, 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 there goes all the manufacturing jobs slowly being leaked over to a country that we don't want to really have to rely on in a crisis. And drip, 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 there goes all of our medical manufacturing. Drip, 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 there goes all of our movies and the freedom of our press and the fact that they've now got their tentacles ensnared so tightly around the media. It's almost a revelation if even a TV show has a Chinese villain in it. Drip, 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 there goes more and more of our freedoms. And our executives can't hardly speak out and tell the truth. Slowly but surely, even when you have something like climate policy, that's being wrecked by China because they don't want alternative energy and renewable energy and resources like that. And so when you see at the debate somebody like Bloomberg, we need to work with China, we have to have their cooperation, they have to back us up on this and that, it's all bullshit. China will never. Because when you look at a list of the biggest corporations in the world, in the top 20 corporations by revenue, billions and billions of dollars, the only three companies in that list that are Chinese are fossil fuel giants. The three biggest companies and they have in their entire economy are fossil fuel companies, coal and gas. A disproportionate share of their revenue, especially compared to America, fossil fuel company we have in our top 10 is ExxonMobil. Everything else is like Apple and information technology, healthcare. We're much more diversified. And I released a video one time talking about all of America's enemies run on fossil fuels. Russia is almost a one commodity country. Russia and Iran and ISIS with their oil bunkering and things like that. You look at OPEC. OPEC, it's like a who's who of the most villainous countries on the face of the earth. Libya, even though China's not in OPEC, the fact that they derive a disproportionate amount of their money from fossil fuels, it's just one more reason that we should go to all alternative energy. It will barely affect us because very few of our, probably fossil fuels in the United States kill more jobs than they create at this point. If you look at something like the BP oil spill, where there's a couple hundred roughnecks on oil rigs that put out of work thousands, probably 10,000 fishermen who couldn't do any fishing for several months at a time. Our country kind of depends on a somewhat clean environment. When you look at fishing jobs, hunting jobs, ranching jobs, national parks, farming, things like that. I mean, there are so many jobs you just simply can't do if your environment is wrecked. And even like a place where they allow fracking and then it poisons the ground's water. That will never be a place that Amazon and Microsoft, even when you look at a company that isn't necessarily dependent on the environment, they're not going to move to a place that has a terrible environment. You know how hard it would be to convince them to be like, hey, let's go to Lickspittle, Oklahoma, where the groundwater has been poisoned with fracking. And every time you take a shower, you got to use bottled water and you can never drink the water in your own house. They'll never move to a place that has a wrecked environment. That's why even though Alabama will get better and better in terms of our economy and our jobs, West Virginia never will because of the over-reliance on coal that has basically poisoned. It's a one commodity state that has basically poisoned the rest of their economy because it's very hard to imagine they would ever be able to entice a big corporation to live in a place where their employees have to drink bottled water, take a bath with water that they boil because that's how filthy the water is. Our economy needs to go to all alternative energy. China's never will unless they're forced to, unless there's a big, massive crash in oil prices and coal prices and things like that because everybody's realizing how much better alternative energy is. This is one of the reasons that our relationship with them has made no sense. And it continues to make no sense, and I'm hoping to reevaluate it. Because, you know, people say, well, China, they own too much of our debt, things like that. Japan owns a lot of our debt. A lot of people own American debt because it's worth something. Like, you wouldn't want to own Venezuelan debt because it's worthless. Well, we don't want to piss China off too bad, or they're calling our debts. It would almost hurt them as bad to do that as it would us. Plus, there'll be several other countries that'll be like, we fucking hate China. Japan, South Korea, most of Europe. So we'll give you the money. It doesn't benefit us. They've stolen trillions of dollars in IP. There was a former NSA director that said Chinese IP theft of American intellectual property is the greatest transfer of wealth in world history. They've stolen trillions of dollars. And even when you look at the countries that are on the cutting edge of technology, like Japan is doing some fascinating things. Japan is building particle accelerators. They're doing AI. They're doing all these different things. They're actually leading in things you can't make a direct profit off of. Japan's like, we want to discover the mysteries of the universe. We want to discover why dark matter exists, what's inside a black hole. China is specifically geared towards what can we steal that will make us enough money to surpass the United States? And how can we spread further across the globe to control it in the same way that maybe America did that after World War II? Maybe the rest of the world was in tatters and we wanted to spread out and control the rest of it. That's what they're doing now. In Africa, most of the construction crews that you see are Chinese construction companies. They're hooks into Africa, all over the globe really, but specifically Africa by taking out the commodities. Whatever the English and the French did, that type of colonialism, it's just a new version of that. It's colonialism 2.0 with how they're getting their hooks all around all those industries and resources. So when you add it all up to Europe and America are afraid to say anything pro-democracy in regards to the Hong Kong protesters because our executives and companies don't want to lose money. And we have a trade relationship with them that makes no fucking sense. And Africa is being strangled economically by them pulling all the resources and money out. And all the countries around China don't get along with them. Taiwan, Tibet, Hong Kong, South Korea, Japan, even the Philippines had some disputes about the South China Sea and some of the islands around them. You're beginning to see a government that is just not interested in partners and not interested in anything that doesn't benefit them. And that's quite scary because they're building a technologically advanced dictatorship. They now have cameras that can, if they can read your face, they can follow me. They said, there's this guy as he goes from the Hong Kong hotel, any hotel that you stay at, they'll be like, we can follow this guy from the airport to the hotel to the business meeting to the district. If they can track your movements all across the city and things like that. It's almost like this is how they expect to keep power. This is how they expect to suppress people and stop anything from ever changing in that part of the world. Most dictators, their reign ends through violent revolution where the people rise up and overthrow them. How can they do that if the intelligence agencies can literally track your every single movement and prevent any type of real rebellion or revolution from happening? And it's getting more sophisticated every day. Now, even if you were to wear a fake face, the Mission Impossible mask or something like that, they're creating cameras that can track the way your body moves, just the gait and the walk and things that you really can't fake on a camera. So even if you were to be wearing a very advanced mask to try to fool the sensors, if they can pick up your body movements from a mile away and track you that way, everything that you see more and more out of that country, it looks like 1984. And sometimes you even see like Vice did a story about China's technological dystopia, as they called it. And they go, wow, this seems like Black Mirror. And they go, exactly. It's like that Bryce Dallas Howard episode of Black Mirror. They're like, but you know, that that's not a good thing, right? Like, that was scary. And they're like, yeah, well, whatever. You know, called it Skynet. And they're watching Terminator, and they're watching Black Mirror, taking notes almost like, oh, this is what we could do or whatever. I'm like, 1984, that's not an aspirational book. You're not supposed to read that and say, hey, this would be a pretty good way to live in the future. So they're not taking their aspirational cues from Star Trek. They're taking it from George Orwell and Running Wild with it. And I think it's only getting scarier. And this thing with COVID-19, it really just reinforces what I've been saying about communists in general, which is they are obsessed with not being embarrassed. From the Soviet Union denying that a serial killer could even possibly exist, because the Soviet Union's a utopia. Russia in 1930s, with Stalin being alive, it would be impossible that that would even be, no way that that could even exist, because it's a workers' paradise. And then, of course, Cuba, the same thing, where they would deny the realities over and over and over again. The Viet Cong, over and over and over again. Anything, the Khmer Rouge, like, oh, we could only create a workers' paradise if only, you know, we could just kill all the people that disagree with us and things. Communism is a little bit like Islam in that it's a very, very bad ideology that almost suppresses the truth, almost suppresses individuality. You're almost not supposed to be an individual. You just see a lot of creepy rhetoric that they look at as totally normal. You'll be talking to somebody there that you think is like a normal person that has a job and has a factory and they can do this, and then that is bad for the state. That is against China, and that is bad for the state, and that is what is bad for the state is bad for the people. What is bad for the people should not be allowed. It's such a terrifying amount of programming, and maybe they don't even mean that. Like, maybe they know the truth, but it's just that they're so afraid to say it. But of course, that is a problem. In a place where people are afraid to say the truth or afraid to know the truth, they did polls that showed that most people younger than Tiananmen Square have no idea that it ever happened, and they're not even aware that it ever happened because the internet is censored, the media is censored. So a lot of the younger Chinese especially, they're perhaps more brainwashed than the older Chinese people. That's a condition of the government. And that could change tomorrow if you open things up and allow more freedom to come in. I'm not necessarily saying that the inside of China, where those people, they'll have to make their own decisions. Of course, it's hard to make decisions when you don't have all the facts. I'm more concerned with the way that they're spreading around the globe and trying to control the global conversation on every single thing. And that terrifies me more than anything. I mean, there's been so many times where I'm on Quora and I can tell that I'm talking to a propaganda bot. Like, I know that I am. Question might be, why does America suck so bad? And then somebody will come in and they'll write every single thing America has ever done wrong in Asia and the Middle East specifically. And you'll say, well, it's nothing worse than what China's doing. China is great and wonderful. They make decisions that help all the population. The one-child policy was totally necessary. If we did not have that, we would have collapsed. I am so grateful that our leaders were so smart and so wise. Our leaders are so great and so wise. It's so scary to see people talk that way and think that way. And I'm sure that I'm forgetting stuff, because you got to keep in mind, before coronavirus hit, Hong Kong protests were going on. And there were 1 million Muslims in concentration camps. And when people say things like, well, you should support that if you're worried about Islam. No, I don't support that. People have to understand there's a difference between people like me who are like, Charlie Hebdo should be able to criticize the prophet. Like, we want the conversation. When people reject Islam, we want it to be because they chose to do it because we had a conversation about it. Or I'm not even necessarily saying that they have to reject it. They just may have to moderate it. They may have to say, like, hey, honor killings are wrong. Female circumcision is terrifying. Killing a woman because she wants to get divorced. These things are terrifying. We want to have that conversation. But to say, well, we want to get rid of Muslims tomorrow, so we're going to take them to a concentration camp and we're going to program them and brainwash them and then put them under house arrest and monitor them for a year, that completely flies in the face of the whole reason that you want to get rid of it in the first place. If you're sitting there saying, I don't like a religion where men and women have to pray in different rooms and women are not equal, we want the kind of freedom where men and women pray in the same room, or women can wear whatever they want, or they can have any freedoms that they want to. You don't get those freedoms by taking freedoms away from people, by locking them up, by brainwashing them, by telling them what they can and can't do. But that defeats the whole purpose of what we're trying to do. No, I don't think the imprisonment of 1 million Chinese people in the north that's mostly Muslim or whatever was anywhere near what I would do or would support or wanted to do. And in this one calendar year alone, and keep in mind, we're not even in May yet. We've seen China try violently to suppress Hong Kong protests, ready to create a civil war with Hong Kong if that's what it takes, and trying to control them more and more and more. We've seen them tell American businesses they need to keep their mouth shut against the Hong Kong protests. We've seen them have all these trade disputes with Trump. Back last December, they put a clause in the trade agreements that said act to gods were not covered and that they could get out of it any way they wanted to. Now, this should have set off a red flag. force majeure, like, that's in all these contracts, and you understand that that would be in a contract with a single business. It's never in trade agreements. Trump was too busy being like, yeah, I'm the best, I negotiate the best deals. He was too busy taking a victory lap to even pay attention to the fact of how goddamn strange it was to have a clause put into a contract like that. But that shows even last December, they knew coronavirus was real, it was possible, they were helping to spread it. And this is 2 months before they even acknowledged that it was happening and told people that it could spread person to person. So right there, the fact that they put that clause in the contract and didn't see fit to even alert people shows that whether they spread it accidentally or intentionally, it doesn't even matter. That's how malicious the intent was to let it spread around the globe. When you have a country that's in trouble for brainwashing a million Muslims and keeping them under house arrest and trying to eradicate the Muslim population and is constantly under environmental scrutiny for all the stuff they're doing to the environment and is willing to threaten companies not to go out and support Hong Kong and is suppressing the Hong Kong protests. And this is all in addition to the coronavirus. These are separate things from that. You're talking about five major scandals in 4 months out of the calendar year. It almost doesn't seem possible. And the fact that people, especially liberals, anytime you say anything bad about China, that's racist. We need to focus on Trump. We need to focus on things that are not working. Trump doesn't work. Trumpism doesn't work. Where does he get most of Trumpism? From Asian dictatorships. America first. China's had that mentality for a long time. Racism. China's had that mentality for a long time. Islamophobia, xenophobia, sexism. All these things are prevalent and ready in China. The fact that you can't criticize the ruler and any media that does needs to be investigated. These are all things Chinese have been putting up with a lot longer than we have. And I think it's foolish of us not to support them in their quest to be more democratic. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm going to be doing episode 67 very shortly, and that'll also be a surprising episode that will dovetail with something I've talked about before. All right, thanks for your time.